Let me tell you of the days of high adventure.
What's up, everybody? This is John.
And I'm Kevin.
And this is 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger, the podcast where we take a long, hard look at some of our favorite action movies from the era of Arnold.
Schwarzenegger is the icon of the genre, and we're taking a deep dive into some of these 80s and 90s cult action movies and breaking them all the way down.
Is up, everyone.
Hey, John.
For our listeners in Israel, Spain,
yes.
All over the world, welcome back to another exciting edition of 6 Degrees of Schwarzenegger.
Do you think Roadhouse translates?
Yeah,
like,
I think it's
globally.
I think it's a universal love language. 100%.
Amazing.
We are so excited to have a guest with us. Kevin, will you please introduce our guest?
Yeah, this is my longtime coworker, Rick. Also a longtime fan of the show. It's exciting to have a guest on who knows that much about all these same type of flicks.
Welcome, Rick.
Thank you. Glad to be on board. Looking forward to this episode.
So, Rick, you grew up around Atlanta as well?
Yes.
And you, John, yeah?
I did.
I feel like, so we were all watching TBS, and there was like a limited selection of films they were running on heavy rotation. So that's, I think, where we all get the same frame of reference.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Like, every weekend, Beastmaster would be on once, and Roadhouse would be on once. A whole shit ton of John Wayne movies.
Yep. Charles Bronson.
Flicks. Rocky 2 and Rocky 4.
Right.
Not Rocky 3. For whatever reason. I don't know why. They didn't have the rights to 3. They only had 2 and 4. They didn't have the original.
So bizarre. We're talking about Roadhouse. And before we get kicked off here, Rick, I wonder if you could tell us. You were just sharing with us your sort of breakdown of this movie.
Roadhouse. Yes. To me, Roadhouse is the quintessential 80s homage to the Westerns.
Okay. Yeah.
It's the sleepy Midwestern small town.
Right.
You've got the bad guy who either owns the town or owns everybody in it and thinks he runs everything. You have the drifter who comes in, hired gun, to try to clean up the place.
Definitely.
The hot chick, inevitably, that he will run into. His sidekick, which we will get to eventually, who comes along.
Yeah.
And you've got all these great side characters that just add to the story.
Totally.
Like to me,
the
it's
town
like,
drunk type, all that stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Comic relief characters.
Yes. To me, it's like a great dinner that you don't cook often.
Right.
But it's like all these ingredients, but just top it with some extra cheese from the 80s. And you, like I said, you don't eat it often, but when you have it, you absolutely love it.
You might feel bad afterward.
You will regret it later.
You might have that agita right after, but man, you love it anyway.
If I had been exposed to this movie at a younger age, I could have written about this movie because I did a class in college that was all about the Western genre, and we had to write about a newer movie that was a Western. And I wrote mine about Beverly Hills Cop.
Nice.
Which is also another one where it's like the outsider comes to town and he cleans up this town.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. But this movie, even more so, is just like on the nose, like a Western. I mean, even the characters' names, like all Wade and...
Everyone.
Brad Wesley.
Tillman.
Dalton.
Dalton, named after Dalton, Georgia.
Hey.
Apparently.
The carpets of Dalton.
There was another...
TBS
staple.
Exactly.
And the other one, Gallery Furniture?
Hey, ask for the Wolfman.
No, ask for Donna.
Oh my God!
If you know those commercials, you are our target audience.
Welcome.
They were on every fucking TBS commercial break. Carpets of Dalton and Gallery Furniture.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. What even happened in the first episode?
Well, I'll run us back a little bit.
All
there's
right.
not a lot.
Yeah, exactly. It really, honestly, nothing.
We got Dalton, who I guess is like the world's biggest badass bouncer / cooler. We get a character named Tillman who approaches him at his job and says, hey, come work in my bar because it's a mess. So Dalton drops everything at the drop of a hat, and drives across the country to start working at the Double Deuce in Missouri.
Yep.
And he runs afoul of, well, he doesn't even run afoul of anybody.
No,
quite
he just
yet.
Observes that whole first night. And
yeah,
that's it.
The yes. bar is rough and rowdy. There's a lot of fights, some crooked seeming business going on in there. And he's like, all right, I'm here to clean up this town. And then, yeah, we've met some characters. There's like the bartender, the hooker with the heart of gold type.
Yeah.
Carrie and the blind guitar player, Cody.
Yeah, who's a buddy of his from way back.
Some shady other bouncers and stuff like that, shady bartenders.
And then he rents a room from Emmett.
He rents a room on the farm, yeah. It's actually an amazing apartment.
Yeah.
I would like to live there,
same.
Actually.
I would live there in a heartbeat.
Okay. Same. We're all on the same page.
On the same page.
Big time. And that picks us up. Like you said, not a lot happened in the first section of this movie.
So we're back at the Double Deuce. They're getting ready to open the bar. Tillman is showing like the blueprints. He's revealing his plan to revamp the club. He says he's spending a lot of money, and that's why he's brought in Dalton.
The best damn cooler, whatever that means, in the business. We're still not sure what that means.
I guess it's like, you cool down the heated situations, I suppose, right? But he did mention earlier that he'd come into some money.
Right.
And he's mentioning it again, and we don't really know what that means. Like, did someone die and he inherited some
money?
He's
seeking every bit of it in the Double Deuce. Yes. Is he hiding it from the IRS? Is he also, like, sort of shady?
It does seem there's, like, not another great watering hole in this town.
Right.
So I guess there is a market for that. He tells them all that Dalton's in charge now, and whatever Dalton says goes. Dalton is almost never not smoking in this movie. Did you notice that?
Yeah, when he first gets out of his car, when he arrives at the Double Deuce, he's smoking later on.
This had to be like towards the end of the era where it was acceptable to have like your hero just be smoking to look cool.
Right.
Yes.
You know?
But Swayze does look cool smoking.
Do you buy it?
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah, I think so.
May have been a year or two or so before you started having all the lawsuits with the tobacco farmers and everything where it became really taboo to smoke.
Yeah, I don't know when that real crackdown started happening, but lawsuits and it was no longer whatever, kosher. So, first order of business for Dalton is he fires Morgan.
No, Terry Funk, no.
That's Terry Funk, pro wrestler. He tells Dalton he's a dead man.
I like Dalton's lines like, you don't have the right temperament for this trade.
He's accurate. That's accurate. Yeah. The first moment we saw Morgan, he was like heaving someone through the doors.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful because he's like, what the hell am I supposed to do now? Dalton looks at him and he's like, it's always barber college.
poor Terry.
There's a nice little stare down between the two. Like, that we know that these two are like going to throw down at some point.
Yeah.
Dalton tells the waitress who has no name that she's also gone because he saw her dealing drugs earlier.
Yeah, we never see her again, so bye.
Yeah. I feel like she also sort of tries to give a little shoulder.
A little shoulder chuck.
Yeah.
She walks by.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, imagine if Dalton had just decked her.
Kicked her in the back of the head.
Roundhouse kick.
Ripped her throat out.
Dalton drops that iconic line. It's from now on, it's my way or the highway.
That's good stuff.
Is that a phrase that goes back forever? I don't know when I first heard it.
We should look up the etymology of the phrase.
My way or the highway. We'll Google that earlier while the pizzas are cooking.
Yeah.
So Dalton says, people want to have a good time and they're not going to come to a place like this to have a good time. Like, this is just a slaughterhouse.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So,
too many 40-year-old adolescents, felons, power drinkers and trustees of modern chemistry. Does he have that whipped up? Is that on a note card somewhere? He wrote that down.
He's been doing this for years. That's like his go-to line.
Yeah.
No one improvised trustees of modern chemistry.
No.
I like the term power drinkers.
Yeah, same.
Like that might be appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah. The staff seems like super duper skeptical that things could ever change here. Dalton tells them, you just got to follow my three simple rules.
What are they?
Number one, never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
That's two right there, right?
Yeah. He's already cheating. Number two, take it outside, never fight in the bar.
Yeah, unless it's absolutely necessary.
That's a solid rule.
Yeah, I like
that's
that
a good one, right?
Protect the establishment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And number three, be nice.
Even if they call you a cocksucker.
Be nice is said 8 times in this scene.
Right.
Like, no matter what, yeah, be nice. Apparently, Swayze is kind of like this whole enlightened guru vibe that he has. Apparently, is like what he really was like.
I buy it. And that's, that goes back to what we were talking about in the previous episode. Is I think that that's the draw for Swayze.
It weaves through all his character.
It's like that's the real deal. Like he was
he's
that dude.
He's authentically that way. He is simultaneously badass and then also sort of cerebral.
I had read an interview with Sam Elliott where he was talking about how hard it was to lose Swayze because like he was that guy. Like, beyond being just, like, good-looking and a good actor and physically gifted and all that stuff, like, he was a true gentleman and had this aura about him.
No, like that's hard.
Like, a true, just an amazing dude who knew more than everyone. Or knew, is it the thing of, like, you're in on something that everyone else doesn't get yet or something like that.
He's an expert on the human condition.
he's a student of human moves.
Exactly.
to quote whoever that was that Color of Money?
I don't know.
Student of human moves. I think it was. I think it was Fast Eddie.
Jackie Gleason. Yes.
Paul Newman. Student of human moves. We got the one brash bouncer, Steve, who we saw earlier, like hitting on underage girls. He's sort of being a smartass through the whole thing. I like Dalton. He's like stays completely cool and calm. He's like, no matter what they say to you, it's not personal. He's like, what if they call my mama a whore?
Is she?
Ooh.
Swayze is great at playing like the cool customer.
Yes.
Always.
Right?
Yeah.
Never phased. So Dalton tells him, you be nice until it's time to not be nice.
And I'll let you know when that is.
He'll let him know. I feel like that's the cooler's job, I think, is directing traffic.
And then it's at this point that he sort of delineates what the difference is between bouncer and cooler. It's like, basically, he's the general and everyone else is a foot soldier.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Now, later that night, it's a calm night at the Double Deuce, right?
Right.
Things are kind of chill.
Few and far between.
Denise is eye-fucking Dalton.
She is thirsty.
She is all about Dalton.
I said she's about to like slip and slide right off that chair. I mean, Dalton, he spots Steve sneaking a couple of underage girls in past the big guy, Jack.
I love Jack.
Jack's amazing.
Jack exists for no other purpose except for to like speedily like get through some exposition. This is what's happening.
I feel like he's also like quick on his feet though when it comes down to the fighting. Like he's like kind of agile.
He moves pretty good.
I don't know if I don't know him from anything else.
I can't think of anything.
But he had such a look about him, like a presence on the screen.
But I love he's working the door when Steve's girls come in. He's like, they hand him the ID, but he looks at it. He's like, it's the Sears credit card.
It's amazing.
That counts. Let them in.
They're friends of mine.
Yeah.
Dalton spots like the head bartender. It seems like this guy Pat pocketing money.
Who we've recognized from subsequent watches of this movie as like a poor man's Paxton.
That should have been Bill Paxton. He looked like Paxton.
Yeah. Looked very much like him.
I feel like it fits in with Dalton's vibe that he's like content to like just sort of. For tonight, I'm just watching.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like here to try to run over there and bust things up.
It's like when your teachers in school had observation and like the principal or some shit would come in and sit in the back and it's like, just do what's normal. You just do whatever's normal. Mm-hmm. We'll be back here. No one could concentrate.
Is it weird that this dude that Steve and Pat both are like just doing their regular dirt like right away? Like, they're not, like, trying to be on their best behavior for a minute.
I don't think they care.
Yeah, well, I think it goes back to what you said when Dalton was first explaining, you know, as he was taking over. Like, they were skeptical of him. So they don't think anything's going to change.
Right.
And they don't, like, they're not afraid of Dalton.
No, they're like, he's just a name. You know, the legend can't be as big as what we've heard.
Exactly. They also thought he'd be bigger.
So we got a drunk woman who's hopped up on top of one of the little tables, and she's started to dance. That woman was hot, dude.
Yeah.
There's no shortage of talent in this movie.
No.
Like top tier. Like I don't know, man. That girl had it going on, but all the girls in the movie have it going on for me. And I'm usually not into that 80s aesthetic as much.
Yeah, I know.
But this was working for me.
Whereas I grew up with it. So that's part of my past.
Wait, we talked about Bloodsport. what was her name? Cindy or not Cindy?
No.
You remember, Rick, the main girl in Bloodsport? What was her name?
Janice.
Yes, Lois Ayers.
Janice. You liked her look. You were okay with it.
I was, because I know, I recognized that that was the look.
Were you in, did you think she was hot?
I thought she was very good looking.
Okay.
It fit more into an older 80s vibe where she was a professional, but she still had the big hair, the blonde hair. It still just fit the 80s.
I could never see past the 80s aesthetic with her.
Yeah, just that, like when she's first at the Kumite and her hair is like all done up, but it's only on one side. Yes. It's huge.
She's like clubbing.
Pimps herself out to the head bookie.
To head bookie. Duke's my man.
Amazing. You could fight it. You good. Yeah. anyway, so Dalton signals to the one bouncer, Hank, to go over there and get her down off the table.
I like Hank.
Hank seems like the one who's like the open-minded, like young grasshopper.
Doesn't he look like a young Chris Cooper?
Dude, yes. That's a good call.
I looked him up because I'm like, this dude's uber familiar, and he had not done any other movies.
I first saw it, I was like, is that? I had to look it up. I was like, is that Chris Cooper?
It should have been Chris Cooper. Yeah. That would have been awesome. Anyway, this dude Hank, he goes over, he tries to take her down off the table, and the boyfriend shoves him.
Of course.
And Hank wants to fight right away, but Dalton gives him the look, like, nah, we're not fighting, like, just try again. He goes over there again very politely, and the dude, like, pulls a switchblade.
Excuse me, sir.
It's hard to be afraid of a dude, like, wearing a Hawaiian print shirt. Like,
right.
He looked like a bad, like, stand-up comic or something. Like, he had the curly, like, I don't know if his hair was permed or if that was real curls, but I don't know. But, yeah, Dalton comes over and he disarms the dude and, like, puts his face right through the table.
I guess that, like, and I'm wondering, there are a few times in this movie where I feel like Dalton sort of breaks his own rules. Like, he didn't go over there being nice, and I guess he's trying to show the guys, like, this is one of the times where you've done what I asked you to do, and it didn't work, so now I'm stepping in.
Was it really breaking the rule? Don't start anything in the bar. He went over and finished it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would say when a deadly weapon comes out, then it's time to shut it down, I guess. But then he asks a couple of the bouncers to carry this dude out. Then he, like, gentlemanly, like, helps the woman down off the table. Right. You know? He's, like, full Swayze seduction mode. I feel like he was giving her, like, the eyes.
I just like how all the bouncers, did you see that? Did you see that? Like, stunned by what they just saw.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Dalton's moves.
Tillman is looking on. He's very impressed, along with everybody else.
Who is that guy?
We hear, like, the people off camera. Who is that guy? And then we got Cody up on stage. The name is Dalton. Amazing.
Hey, nothing wrong with his hearing.
No. Well, one of the bandmates, like, leaned in and whispered something in his ear. So it must have been like a Dalton like, clean this dude's clock or something like that.
He has announced his presence with authority.
Amazing movie moment, though. The way, like, the camera pushes in on Dalton's face, and then it, like, a close-up of Denise pushing it on Denise's face. She's just
it is great. It's a great sequence.
As high as her level for Dalton was, it just went up even further. Yeah,
oh, my God, he's dangerous, too. Well, she's obviously into that.
So then we cut to Steve is making it with a girl a girl in the stock room on top of, like, a case of beer.
She's
or something.
Making it with the champ.
He's going to make her his regular Saturday night thing.
That's what every woman wants to hear. You're going to be my regular Saturday night thing.
Gross.
And let's say this is one of the underage girls that came in with the Sears credit card.
Gross. Under 21, perhaps, right? Yes. But maybe over 18, we hope.
Yeah, I would hope over 18.
Yeah, but Steve is, like, Steve 30-something, right?
And I mean, you talked about it. Watch it. We've seen this vibe since the beginning of the movie with the girl at the beginning.
That's his vibe. That's his
scene.
His vibe
is those younger women.
Why is Steve getting butt-ass naked for what can only be a quickie? She had the right idea. She had her skirt hiked up.
He just doesn't like the feel of clothes while he's making it.
Dalton, like,
hard to concentrate.
Dalton tells him he's fired. He's like, I'm on my break, which is
I like that line. To be fair,
if true, he has a point.
And that was never mentioned in the rules.
Maybe it's an accumulation of, like, misdeeds.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. Well, now we cut to it's closing time. Dalton is also calling out Pat, the bartender, for skimming.
Yeah, costing the bar $150 a night.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
It is a lot. I mean, on top of whatever tips and, like, your actual, like, legit income. Yeah. So he fires him, but Pat He says he wants to hear Tillman tell him he's fired.
Yeah.
Which Tillman does, but he seemed like nervous about it.
He was a little uneasy about it.
And Pat's like kind of menacing.
Are you sure?
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah. Pat was played by this dude named John Doe. Which I don't know if that's a stage name or not, because he was like the front man of this punk rock band called X.
I still haven't listened to any X, but
I tried to check them out. I mean, they sound very generic punk, but they were really early in the game, like mid-70s.
Okay.
Their first two albums were on Rolling Stone's like top 500 albums of all time. So
damn, that's awesome.
I guess they're cool. He had a weirdly groomed mustache.
Very weird.
He had like a wide gap shaved in the center. Like the anti-Hitler.
See that rat?
see that mustache coming in, rat?
Yeah.
Prominent.
It also amazed me in this scene to show Dalton's acumen. Like, he walked up to him and he's like, "You're skimming 6 shots a bottle, drafts 1 every 10. So I was like, you had to either be watching him like a hawk all night, or if you just done this long enough, where you know exactly what somebody's skimming off the till.
I love that that's like Dalton's like preternatural gift, is being just the best bouncer, the best bard,
well, yeah,
like the best cooler.
He
in
was
the game.
Also a philosopher, as we'll find out later. Yes. But it's like, yeah, it's interesting. It makes me wonder, like, was Lincoln Hawk's gift arm wrestling?
He just he was born a natural born arm wrestler,
a natural born trucker and arm wrestler. Some people just find their lane, literally.
This scene with Pat, though, is like the one that makes you question, like, how is this not Paxton?
Yeah.
He looks like Bill Paxton.
Yeah, totally.
And they were like, Paxton would have been age appropriate to crush this part. I would have just loved to have seen that, but
Maybe Rowdy was unaware of Bill's greatness.
Oh, man. Yeah, he was kind of new on the scene by then. He probably had weird science that probably
had been out. Science was at this point.
He was in Aliens.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he crushed it in Aliens.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in Terminator, or not Terminator, he was in Terminator.
Right.
He was in Predator 2.
Right.
Yeah, this would have been maybe this was too small of a part.
I was about to say,
maybe he
was like, you know what, I'm just too busy.
Yeah, did you think about it? He would have been a known commodity at the time.
So. Yeah, I feel like Aliens really, like, blew up Paxton's spot.
Yes.
Anyway, Tillman's very happy about how the night's gone down. Dalton warns him, like, it's going to get worse before it gets better. He's like, he's always dropping wisdom bombs on him, you know? So Dalton walks out. He finds his car, the old beater. It's, like, all fucked up. Flat tires, busted windshield.
He laughs it off. This is, like, old hat for a legend like Dalton.
Finally, that, like, the car thing is making sense now with the tires and the getting the shitty old shitbox or whatever.
He's like taking off his jacket. Time to get to work.
Dude, imagine though changing 4 tires at like 2 or 3 in the morning. Brutal.
Yep. Agreed.
He needs to, that's just rough, man.
Don't think there was any AAA in Jasper.
No, not in 89. I don't know.
Now, we're at Brad Wesley's mansion across the river from the farm, and it is popping off.
Yeah, so we were talking about this, that like across the water, Dalton's like getting on like his 3 a.m. reading in.
Right, what time is it?
Well, you figure, say the bar closes, let's say conservatively 2 a.m.
Right.
So well, then you got to go out and change all your tires.
Right.
Then go home. So and by like, then he's into the reading. So it's I'm thinking closer to 4.
4 a.m.
We're all on the same page. It's got to be about 4 a.m.
But I love that somewhere the party was happening and then they all...
Let's
ended
go to the
up
pool.
Back at Brad Wesley's house.
I don't understand, like, this makes me wonder what makes Wesley tick. Like, he just likes watching people who are a generation younger than him party.
I guess.
At his place. Like, because...
It's sort of like Shredder in Ninja Turtles.
Lamenting his wasted youth, living vicariously through the young
generation. I don't know. It's a weird vibe going on. He's in there when, like, the hot... Did he have the hot pink robe?
Yeah,
he has the
hot pink terry cloth bathrobe on.
Amazing. He's got, I think, Denise on his arm.
Denise is on his arm.
Like, I love this guy.
Oh, the big guy, Mountain.
Yes.
That dude was tall.
He had
to be, like, 6'8 or something.
Yeah, he had moves.
Dalton is, like, watching this. He seems amused.
Yeah.
He was reading Legends of the Fall.
Great book. Jim Harrison.
I never read it. I love the movie.
Yeah, Jim Harrison's a great writer. If you've never read any of his stuff, I recommend A Really Big Lunch is the name of the book. Because the guy was like a food fiend, like huge, big time. And it's really, really good.
I noticed this because it comes up over and over again in this film. He's got the top button of the jeans unbuttoned. Dalton, which I guess is relaxation mode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it happens a lot, like four times in the film. He's like just chilling with the top button undone. It's just, why are you, I don't know.
I don't know. Like, I
he wasn't feel working like that, in denim.
Yeah,
he came home and put on his denim, his reading denim.
His PJ. No, he's not his PJ's sleeping, denim. We know it's not
sleeping
his
denims.
That's right.
Oh, you're right. He doesn't sleep in those for sure.
Why do we know that?
So, cut
Stay
to
tuned.
Next morning. Carrie has just let herself in. She's coming on up into Dalton's living quarters. She brought him some lunch.
They know each other. They know each other 2 days, and she's like snooping around trying to find him.
Exactly.
Like, it's odd.
Denise should battle for him because she's obviously so into Dalton as well.
Right. True. Right.
Now, Dalton's place is truly amazing. Like the river, the windows overlooking the river.
Yeah.
I love that. The drawback, no privacy. Probably. Emmett's down there, like, dicking around at the crack of dawn.
Moving hay bales, yeah.
Like feeding the horses.
Feeding the hogs, whatever. But Carrie's brought him some breakfast. What time is it?
I was thinking, like...
I
was thinking that if he went to bed at 5, that
yeah.
him sleeping until 9 or 10 is probably about right.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's a short night of sleep. But, yeah, that seems the latest, the earliest it could possibly be. Now, what's her game? She's over here trying to score, right? Does she come over here to try to sleep with him or to flirt with him at least?
I think she came because we need some exposition.
The filler you mentioned in episode 1.
Not only did he need breakfast, he also needed to know some stuff. Plot.
Yes.
Apparently, Carrie Ann had tons of scenes cut out of the movie is what I read.
Okay,
like, she had an actual arc.
Yeah.
Because as it is, she's an exposition machine.
Yeah.
Now Dalton, fully nude,
mm.
gets out of bed and walks over and pulls those jeans back on.
Right.
Carrie is like ogling him.
Oh,
there's not a lot of ass like that in these parts, one guesses.
I love that they went for it. I don't know if that's the woman writer or not, because like her facial expression is just like, she's like a horny dude in Porky's or something.
Just this,
you know?
Audible gasp. Of just like...
Yeah, like that ass.
That ass, though.
Why is Dalton doing this, though? That's what? Like, you'd get in trouble if you exposed yourself to your subordinate.
Yes. Yep.
Would not.
I feel like
a
Dalton,
different time.
Again, the 80s.
Yeah. And Dalton, I feel like, is an exhibitionist, which we'll see pay off a few times in the film here. But I think he's like... Yeah, that's a weird thing to do, just to act like it's nothing. Like,
right.
This woman you just met?
He probably doesn't even really think about it, maybe.
Maybe. It's all part
I think
of the
he knows she's
sin
into it.
Thing.
Yeah,
just,
that's what I'm
you
wondering.
You know who you
just
are,
like,
you're comfortable with it, and this is who I am.
If you objectify me, that's on you.
So, Dalton asks how she found him. She says it wasn't hard. And then she makes this, like, facial, like, there's a double entendre there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, or, you know, it is a plot hole, right? Like, how did she find him?
I have no
ask
idea.
Around.
Maybe she asked Tillman. Do you know where Dalton's staying?
He's over at Emmett's farm, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. They say in screenwriting class, like, the best way to cover a plot hole like that is to draw attention to it. Like,
right.
Have someone point out, like, isn't this a plot hole? And then it's like, then the audience is like, oh, okay, they're aware of it.
It wasn't hard. Okay.
Well, would she be into him enough to follow him home from the bar that night, find out, and then go back, get some breakfast,
she
and then come the next morning?
Him.
Yes.
That would have been a sinister arc for Carrie Ann.
Carrie Ann, the bartender. I don't know, but Carrie Ann tells him, like, he really shouldn't have fired Pat, the bartender, the night before.
What?
He asks why, and she says, you know, for whatever reason, she doesn't give an answer. She's like, you just shouldn't have. Again, there's like...
He's sitting on some sinister element.
He's chilling with that top button unbuttoned. He wants to let the pubes breathe.
Let them breathe, baby.
I don't know why, but she says she just gets the feeling like she's looking at a dead man.
That's such a weird line.
It is weird. To,
bizarre.
It's weird to not give him all the information, like you're just hinting at the fact that you should be nervous.
Right.
But I'm not going to tell you why.
Yeah, like the information that gets divulged later on at the Double Deuce, like why couldn't she mention that? In passing now. I don't know.
I don't know. There's
she definitely knows something about the town that he doesn't, and it's almost a warning.
They're like rationing out the information,
yeah.
I guess, right? So, later that morning,
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Brad Wesley is driving his, like, cherry red Mustang 5.0, the Vincent Benedict special.
Yeah.
That was, like, the same car.
Same car?
Yes.
He's driving down the country road there. He runs up on, like, an oncoming Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
driving his car. He runs Dalton off the road. I mean, he's just like weaving back and forth.
Everything about him still, he's got the fedora, an ascot.
Except for like a Sunday morning drive, I guess.
Yeah. Singing Life Would Be a Dream. Shaboom. So he's like he's not listening to. That's another thing, is that several times in this movie, I feel like he sort of positions himself as from like an older guy from another time, like we were talking about a moment ago, like living vicariously through younger people.
Maybe
he's like still listening to music that was popular,
like doo-wop 20 music years ago, or whatever,
30 years ago.
The bit doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, I get what, if from a storytelling perspective, it's like this dude does what he wants and he just expects other people are going to get out of his way.
Right.
Yes.
But it's a metaphor.
What if Dalton had like just bailed and let the car run head on into Wesley's car? I mean, he would have got out of the way if it was a big rig, right?
He would have.
He would not have been weaving if it was an 18-wheeler coming in. No. Fucking Lincoln Hawk. That would have been the moment.
That would have been amazing.
I don't know if he'd have noticed, though, because he wasn't really. He was kind of looking at the sky as he was singing.
I do feel like this. I mean, we talked a little bit, but I feel like this movie definitely like takes place in the Lincoln Hawk, in the over-the-top universe.
Yes.
It feels like a sequel almost, like just the whole, the vibe, the energy of the movie.
Even if it doesn't, I'm putting it in that universe. Yeah,
that's where it exists.
So could Brad Wesley be like part of Jason Cutler's army?
That's genius. I love it.
Brad Wesley. Doesn't he seem like he's got goons in every town?
He's running that Midwest.
The Cutler trucking.
The Midwest section of the empire of Cutler trucking.
That's why I started feeling like, I guess you couldn't have had this, but wait, what if, it would have been sweet if, like, it had been Lincoln Hawk to come in and clean up this town. But no, arm wrestling, that's all he knows is arm wrestling.
He doesn't drive truck, break arm.
Break arm. Drive truck. Yeah. That would have freed up Swayze, though, to have been Tango.
Yeah.
In Tango and Cash, which would have been rowdy.
That would have sold that movie much better. That movie would have been 100% better without Stallone anyway.
So He's taking his, like, beaten-up car to the garage that's next to the Double Deuce.
Right.
Which prompts me. What time is it? He's waiting there for the garage to open. Is it not, like, late morning already?
Well, I mean, if it's, like, Saturday and place doesn't open until 10, or Sunday doesn't
that
open until
right
after
to you guys?
Church.
It could be a Sunday.
Like
maybe 10 or 11. Yeah. And it's a small Midwestern town, so maybe he knows I don't get a lot of business early. I'll open when I open. It's my business.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got to be nice to be, like, your own boss in that way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't feel like I'm sleeping one off. You know, Red Party's hard.
Definitely. Oh. Dude, Red gets off at, like, a towny bar somewhere across, like...
He goes to the small one that we see later in the film.
Yes, exactly.
The Double Deuce is in the background, and it is massive.
Yeah.
Like this huge sort of, like, it had the look of a barn or like a field house, you know, or whatever. But apparently it was only two walls. The two walls that we see are the only two walls. There was no backside. It was just, like, built.
Open.
Like that. I loved that.
That's awesome.
They said the same for the auto shop. It's like, it was just the front-facing wall.
That's cool.
And that's it. And then anytime they're inside, it's, you know, whatever, on the soundstage. So now, Red rolls up, he hops out, he tells him, you know, fixing this car is going to cost more than what the car is worth.
Right.
So, Dalton tells him, fix it anyway.
I got money to spend, Red.
He's got money burning a hole in his pocket, I guess.
Listen, Red.
He's making what that car costs basically every night.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's pretty sweet, dude.
It'd be awesome if you drove a new car to work every night to confuse everyone. Mm.
So this guy, Red West, the mechanic or whatever he is played by Red Webster.
Right.
Who was tight with
Red
Elvis.
Webster.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember you telling me.
He was part of the Memphis Mafia. Yeah. Like, he grew up with Elvis.
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool. Like,
that's so badass.
It's also nice to just get cast where you're like, just make my character's name the same as my name. Like, I don't have time to answer to another name.
I'm not going to remember.
Red asked him how long he's going to be in town.
Yeah.
Dalton tells him not very long. It's like that Western thing. Like, I'm just here to do my job, and then I mosey on to the next town. But Red says, well, I said the same thing 25 years ago.
Yeah, what happened?
He said, I got married to an ugly woman. Don't ever do that. It just takes the energy right out of you.
Yeah, I like
that's
that.
Amazing.
I like that Dalton asked him, like, why did you stay? And he says, well, my wife left me for a man uglier than she was.
Someone uglier than she was.
And that Red fell for running that business. So that's kind of
cool.
Do
you buy that, or is he just, like, trapped here in this town?
I don't know. I kind of get the feeling that after she ran off, that he's probably, like,
happier.
Maybe that's his zen place, you know?
Yeah, I see it. That was a hilarious scene. It's complete filler, right? It has nothing to do with anything, but it is funny.
Well, the banter, it's like the conversation with him and Emmett is some of the most interesting dialogue in the movie. And then similarly, his interaction with Red it humanizes in a movie that's otherwise bonkers. It's totally batshit.
Well, it's like even the way the conversation started. He's like, you know, you the new boy from the Double Deuce?
Right.
You want to put in a standing order now or just pay as you go?
Like that's standing so order funny. For fresh windshields?
You know, or just, for whatever parts you need, let's go ahead and put the order in.
It couldn't be easy to get a windshield for a 65 Buick.
Yeah.
You don't have that in stock.
No.
Now, Brad Wesley and his top goon, Jimmy, come in. Then Red gets uncomfortable.
Right.
So, again, now, where were they driving earlier? Like, Wesley was going to pick up Jimmy, I guess, to come back and shake down Red?
I suppose so. The busy morning.
It's just...
Yes.
But they were partying at Wesley's house at 4 a.m. the night before.
He didn't
crash there?
It's like, does everyone live on the compound?
I got the impression that Jimmy lived there, but maybe not. But it is weird to be partying at 4 a.m. and then, like, we got to go shake this guy down tomorrow morning now. I'll come pick you up.
Yeah.
I'll come pick you up at 11.
Sharp.
But if Wesley is who he is, shouldn't it be the other way around with Jimmy coming to pick him up?
Maybe Wesley, I don't know, maybe Wesley just likes to drive. He has his thing. He has his schedule.
Shaboom.
Shaboom.
So they introduce Dalton and Wesley meet each other.
Yep.
Wesley says that he hopes that Dalton is going to clean up the Double Deuce. It's like... But we get like this like peak insincerity.
Yes.
It's like he doesn't mean this a bit. Now Dalton and Jimmy stare each other down as Dalton's going to leave. Like Jimmy,
the camera staying on Jimmy's face and sort of just like panning across. That looks sexual, right?
He was eye fucking Dalton like as hard as anything that Denise was doing.
Well, we may learn more about that later in the movie.
But this is another like the dudes are fixated on Dalton.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys in town are. Emmett is, I feel like, too.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. And we'll see later on.
And now as Dalton is gone, Wesley says, "Well, Red, beautiful day, isn't it?"
It was.
So we get there's some like animus there.
Yeah.
Back on the farm, Emmett is like watching Dalton do a little bit of Tai Chi out by the riverside.
Right. Again, this is Swayze's Zen vibe going full bore.
Emmett was also surprised, I guess, to check out that nice Benz that was hidden under the tarp.
Right.
Which, where was the Benz? When he rolled, he's got two cars. It's not easy, like, to get them shifted around. He rolled up on the farm, in the old beater, and I don't know where the Benz was at that time.
Yeah.
Hidden somewhere.
He snuck out in the underbrush. He pushed it down the driveway in the dark.
The shot of Dalton, like, doing his Tai Chi flow, like, that was a long shot.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, lingering. For how short the film is, like, they just really, like,
you gotta give the people what they want.
Yes.
I also feel
especially like Emmett, because he was locked in.
He was locked.
Emmett was feeling
was
it.
Locked.
This is probably though how women feel watching movies when like the lingering shot on women's physiques. You know, like so it's telling.
Yeah.
To us that it makes us feel like a little bit like why are they lingering on his body so long? But women feel that way probably all the time.
I've told you, and Rick, I'm sure you're familiar by now. It's like my grandmother watching Bloodsport and the long scenes of Van Damme like stretching and doing his shit, she loved that. Did she watch Roadhouse? Oh yeah,
that was another. She had a Swayze crush,
but she would talk about how he's like he's got a nice physique, but it's not as nice as Van Damme.
few physiques were.
I know at the time.
So, and now across the river, Wesley comes rolling up on this ridiculous three wheeler. He's sort of scoffing at Dalton watching him from a distance. The whole thing is so weird.
Yeah.
Three-wheelers in general are weird.
He, like, smirks and, like, laughs to himself, like, I don't get it, young people doing shit.
Three-wheelers have to be the most dangerous, like, way to get around, other than maybe, like, a motorcycle.
I can vouch for that from my youth. Those things, if you got off kilter, you'd get a wheel off and just, you'd be frightened. We used to drive down the road at 50 or 60 miles an hour.
God.
No helmets, nothing, just flying down the road.
If you fishtail a little bit, you're flipping.
Oh, you're gone, because there's no balance with that wheel being off. I mean, it's centered, but you know what I mean? Off center, you get that back one going one way and it's gone. You're toast.
My clavicle hurts and just broken listening.
Does Wesley have nothing better to do than tool around on a three-wheeler?
Correct.
Okay.
He already did what he shook down Red. His day is wide open.
Now,
that's right.
As Dalton's finishing up the routine, like Emmett looks hot and bothered. Yeah. Like he's like, whoo, like he's wiping the sweat off his brow.
Wow,
I don't know.
It's so funny.
Later on at the Double Deuce, Pat and a couple of goons have come there to sort of threaten Tillman.
Yeah.
So another recurring thing that bothers me in this movie, and I'll talk about it more than once, is like just the laissez-faire way that Wesley's goons are dressed.
Yeah, they're all sort of mismatched motley crew of fuckers.
It's like you got a pure redneck, and then a dude who's like business casual.
He looks like he's coming from dinner at the club or lunch at the
club.
Wasn't
Tinker wearing like the caterpillar?
Yeah,
like, trucker
caterpillar.
Hat.
He's got the suspenders on and
plaid.
Meanwhile, like Pat is dressed basically in like the same shit Dalton's wearing.
Yeah.
Dalton walks in on this. He wants to know what's going on. The tall dude O'Connor. Fucking killer voice.
Yeah,
on
his
O'Connor.
Voice is crazy.
Amazing.
The actor's name was Michael Ryder. I don't know him from anything else, but amazing voice. He seems to be in charge. He says Tillman may own the bar, but all the liquor that he serves has come from Brad Wesley. furthermore, Pat doesn't work for Tillman. He works for Wesley, who's his uncle, and who's is he paying him or is
I like that we
is
get
Tillman
the,
paying him?
That's,
I don't know.
That's a great question. Yeah. It's like.
He's skimming, which I assume some of that skim is going
so is
back
like,
to Wesley.
I'll sell you the liquor, but as part of the deal, Pat works
for
you.
You got to employ my nephew who's going to skim from your till.
I like also we get to, he says, Pat McGurn. That's his name. It's like, okay.
Pat McGurn.
Thanks for that last name.
Sure.
From the Jasper McGurns.
The McGurn clan. I don't know. But Pat says, I'm staying, and you're the one that's going, Dalton. And then he pulls out a big-ass knife.
Pulls out Rambo's knife from First Blood.
that's what I said we were watching
earlier.
The
groove is like
on one side.
It's like to cut through the barbed wire.
Which I feel like Kurt Russell in Big Trouble. Where'd you get that?
He starts, Pat starts talking all types of shit and slashing at Dalton. Like, he's escalated to, I'm going to kill you now. Dalton's just sort of parrying away and, dodging the things. But he calls him Chicken Dick.
Chicken Dick.
I don't know where that comes from.
That is the first and only time I have ever heard that term.
I wish you called him Cloaca.
Tinker is, off to the side doing that little, kissy mouth. It's like some Deliverance shit.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. But Dalton, he quickly disarms Pat, punches him right in the face, and then Roundhouse kicks him through the, office window. Amazing. Pat's face was all bloody before the punch hit.
Right. Well,
it is what
we'll
it
let
is.
It fly.
This, all the commotion draws the attention of the other bouncers. Now the other two goons jump into the fray, who are more they're good with their hands a little bit more than Pat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although Dalton, he's easily handling O'Connor.
Right.
That's when I think Tinker maybe picks up that knife and slashes.
I feel like he pulled a smaller knife.
First he walked up and threw a roundhouse right. That just connected with Dalton as O'Connor had him.
Tinker did?
Yeah,
that's right.
Just, laid it to him.
Tinker's put some heft behind it because he also laid out Tillman with that gut punch.
Yeah.
There's
going to be a little heft when you're 450.
But he slashes Dalton's side with the knife. Dalton seems to be kind of holding his own still, I feel like. Now, he and O'Connor go backwards through the broken window, over the railing. Dalton knocks him out. A couple of the other bouncers come in, and they take Tinker down.
I like that Tillman runs over with some bouncers to, take care of his shit in his own place.
And I appreciate the fact that, Dalton is bleeding a lot.
Yeah.
Usually in these things, you get slashed with a knife, and there's just a little spot of blood. But, his blood is all over O'Connor. Mm-hmm.
It's not sanitary.
Yeah. They get escorted out, and then Dalton also, silently kind of leaves. Does Dalton just instantly know that, this is a wound that requires
medical
more
attention.
Care than I can give myself.
This is a little more than his stitch work.
Because he didn't really look at it or anything. He just knew.
Yeah,
he knows.
I think you can probably tell by
he's
the
been
amount
sliced
of blood.
Enough times.
Probably tell by the amount of
not
blood.
Not his first rodeo.
Exactly, yeah.
So now we're at the emergency room. We got the foxy doctor, Elizabeth Clay. She's looking over some other patient's chart. She enters the room where they've got Dalton sort of with some bandages pressed to his side there. I had read that Annette Bening was supposed to play this part originally.
That as well.
But then she got let go. I don't really know why. And they brought Kelly Lynch in. But this Kelly Lynch, she spent a month apparently hanging around, like, shadowing in an ER, learning how to... It's like, that's a lot of research for
some
this
good
movie.
Acting.
For this movie, though, it's kind of like...
So it's just serious actress.
I feel like they tried to make Kelly Lynch not hot. I feel like they tried to dress her down.
They
put glasses on her, and they pulled her hair back into, like, a braid.
Uh-huh.
But you can't hide, like, she's got it going on.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's a pretty lady.
Dalton has brought his own medical records to the party. Right? Now, she looks, she says, you're a bouncer. Was that in his charts?
Probably.
Does it, like, do you put occupation, maybe?
I can see occupation being in
there. Okay. Yeah. Again, he's got that, the top button of those jeans is unbuttoned. Why? No one asked him to do that.
Maybe
they didn't
I
say, sir,
knew,
take your shirt off and unbutton the top button of your jeans, please.
I've known people who have an allergic reaction to that, to the metal of the jeans button. So
really?
They would have to put, like, tape or something on the inside of it. Maybe that's Dalton's deal.
Maybe that's part of his backstory.
He's like, I get a rash.
I don't know, man. But Dr. Clay says that the double deuce sends a lot of business to the ER.
Right, of course.
And Dalton sort of says, I'm here to change that. She says she's going to add 9 staples to his list of 31 broken bones, 2 gunshot wounds, 9 puncture wounds, and 4 screws. I don't really know about medicine, but I don't think you know before you start stapling how many staples it's going to be.
No, I wouldn't think so.
I don't know. Maybe
you know,
she's
look,
just
oh,
that
yeah, that's
good.
9 staples.
Although if all the business is coming from the double deuce, maybe there's been a bunch of staples.
I was
going
to say, she might be just that good.
She
knows the Dalton of small-town doctors.
She knows Tinker's knife requires 9 staples, always.
I love it.
She goes to give him a local anesthetic, which Dalton says he doesn't want.
Yes. I was just amazed at the size of the needle and the hypodermic needle. I mean, the thing was, it's a local injection, so you're just hitting the spot where the wound is.
Right.
This thing could have taken down a horse or a cow.
The massive syringe, massive, like, amount of anesthetic.
I might have been, even with the pain I would have been in, I might have been like, no, I'm good. Thank you.
I wonder if the real one, the real life one, just wasn't as imposing.
I think
on screen.
Yeah, you need something that reads on screen.
Yes,
it's got to be
still,
a fucking shot.
It's got to be huge.
Right.
More drugs. He says he doesn't want that shot. She's like, "Do you enjoy pain?
Pain don't hurt."
Oh,
what?
I guess that's philosophy. It shows how deep he is.
It's all part of the Zen. All
right.
I don't know what it's about. Is he trying to keep, like, his body like a drug-free temple?
Maybe so. Could so be. He can keep a clear head.
Or just trying to impress the doc.
Yeah, I like that when she says, you always carry your medical records around with you. He's like, saves time.
He might have been trying to impress it because there were a few little looks between them
during
this whole scene.
Well, I will say the chemistry in this scene between the two of them is good.
You like this one?
I like the scene, this scene in particular. The rest of the movie, I'm like, but this scene is great.
Now, she says, your record says you have a degree from NYU.
What?
Fucking what?
That's not something you put in your medical
records.
That is
not in the medical charts.
No.
No fucking chance. She wants to know what he studied. He says he had a degree in philosophy.
Yeah. She's like, do you study anything in particular? And he's like, just, I was interested in man's search for faith or some shit like that. Yeah.
That seemed to get her motor running, though.
Wow.
Like, he's talking about that stuff. She asks how he wound up a bouncer, and he's like, just lucky, I guess. That's not an answer. That's not an answer. That's not an answer to that question.
It's
but
not at all.
Is he here to, like, try to save the world through bouncing, like through being the best bouncer?
Like one club at a time.
Like that's just his natural gift.
Maybe it's like that's the way that he feels that he can connect with the human condition the easiest. You're exposed to a lot of different people or some shit.
Yeah.
I don't know
either.
The worst and best of people. I don't know.
She admires the stitches that he gave himself earlier in the film. She's like, oh, good, like good whatever, good stitch work, I guess. But she's like, do you ever win a fight?
Nobody ever wins a fight.
Deep.
That's
a fucking eye roller to me.
That's
line.
Philosophy.
He's just quoting the syllabus at this point, just like reading down the syllabus from college.
Like, he just says sort of douchey things to, like, try to sound more enlightened than the next guy. It's like kind of like
awesome.
How Twitter is.
Trying to show he's more than just a fighter. There's a brain in there.
That's right.
She finishes up the staples. Then he's like just invites her to come check out the double deuce and, like,
what
have a cup of coffee.
What the fuck is that? Like, he knows what kind of place the deuce is. She knows what kind of place. Does he just want to, like, show off roundhouse kicks?
That's a strange flex, I thought. Like, that does not seem to be her scene.
Like, why not? there have to be restaurants.
One
in
nice
town.
Restaurant in town. Mm-hmm.
And she's already expressed it because she's like, they send a lot of business my way. So right. She absolutely knows what the Double Deuce is about.
There's got to be a killer steakhouse in town.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. Guaranteed.
Kansas City?
Absolutely.
Come on.
Yeah.
Now, she goes to walk out and she turns back and it's like, for a bouncer, I'd have thought you'd have been bigger.
Bigger.
Number three.
Dalton chuckles. He's like, I've never heard that before.
They're getting it's mileage
like,
out of that.
They are really getting they're mileage from that. It's like a not the thing you'll necessarily want to hear from your, like your love interest.
No.
But
I thought you'd be taller. I wish you were taller.
I wish I was a little bit taller.
I wonder what will happen between the doctor and Dalton.
With that romantic, that sexual tension you could cut with a knife.
That's where we'll leave you.
Then that's where we'll leave you, dear listeners.
We'll be back.